Hello, this is Otto Porta, the Spanish pastor to New Hope Family Worship Center in Corona, California. And we are here with Pastor Ron King, who is our senior pastor at the church. And we're here to talk about a big word, missions. Everybody has their own paradigm, and everybody goes in their minds to what they learn probably in at school or Bible school or read in a magazine or listen to it in the news. But I think there's no frontiers, there are no borders in the world because of technology, and because it's easier to move from one place to the other one. So I'm pretty sure you're gonna be blessed with this program today. So hello, Pastor Ron.
Good afternoon, Pastor Otto. It's great to be here with you and talk about missions. This is something I even been teaching in college, is on missions, and so it's exciting to just talk about this topic with you today.
I don't know if I am really a missionary. I've done some work in that, but I'm not an expert.
I would call you an expert moving from one country to America to come and minister here. I think you've lived your life as a missionary.
Yeah, but since I came here and I'm been working with you here, I've learned a lot because you've been doing this for a while. And I am very curious about some things that probably we're going to talk today, or and some of them we are going to wait for another program.
Okay.
So stay tuned. When did you start feeling the calling to missions?
Well, you know, growing up in being ministering in the church the years that I have been, and I was a youth pastor and I was involved in the workings of the church, doing men's ministry, you know, and small groups and stuff. And I just always had a heart for the local church. And I never really wanted to go anywhere. I wanted to stay in Corona. You know, I was willing to pay for other people to go. I even paid for my wife and daughter to go to your home country, Guatemala, one year to do some missions work. But I was content on being here in America until one day when I had an encounter with God in about 2000.
So you think when you had this encounter with God, you started receiving that? That means from the beginning? Or how did you really start feeling the calling to the missions?
Well, I went to a missions conference at Mott Arena in Pasadena. And they had these great men and women of God there sharing. And they created this tunnel for people to walk through to be prayed for. And my friend says, come on, let's go. And I'm like, no, because I didn't want to go anywhere. And so I was happy with just being home. But he finally, after about an hour, he came back and he said, we're not leaving until you go through that line. And I said, okay, I'll get in that line and I'll get the prayer. So I got to the front of the line and the guy put his hand on my shoulder and bam, down on the floor I went. And I heard somebody yell, pick him up. And then I heard another guy yell, everybody lay a hand on him. And they carried me out and they laid me on my face, and the Lord told me, he said, I want you to go where you're invited. And that was the beginning.
So you think it was a kind of impartation or?
Oh,
or
totally. Because, you know, my wife said, all right, you got to go get a passport. And so I went and I bought I got my passport, and she said, you know, she encouraged me to take the whole family to the Philippines. And I'm like, wow, okay, you know, I own my own business. I was ministering in the church, and now I'm going to take my whole family to the Philippines. But God gave us the money to go. So I went, and when I got there, I had such an incredible encounter with the God and the people that it just encouraged me to keep going where I was invited.
Wow, so this is the voice of your wife also. This is the Lord talking to you.
Yes, absolutely.
Encouraging, because sometimes you know, in ministry you get this calling, and then you go to your wife and talk about that, and then you try to explain. But this is something that came right away, like the Lord touched your heart, and then talk to your wife.
Yes. And my wife has always been this great encourager to cause me to step out into what God is saying. And, you know, when we went to the Philippines, you know, it was like 95 degrees, 95% humidity. And, you know, and they made us wear the same color shirt. I had this bright orange T-shirt on. I was drenched in sweat. And we're doing an assembly with 2,500 kids. I did the little skit that they had me in. And our missions director walked up to me and he said, "Ron." I said, "Yes, sir." He goes, "Why don't you go preach to them?" I said, "When?" Wow. He goes, "Right now. Go grab the mic." And I'm like, "What?" He's like, "Go grab the mic." And so I went and I talked to him about becoming a champion for Jesus by surrendering their life to him. And 2,500 kids raised their hand that day and gave their life to Jesus. Yeah.
This is just to start with.
That was my first time. I was looking around like, "Do you guys really see what's happening right now? Are you kidding me? Every hand is up right now." I was blown away. I was blown away.
So how long were you already saved at that time?
I was raised in church, but my wife and I had been growing in the Lord for probably by that time a good 13, 14 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
and this is something that I was always concerned about. Because I don't know if missions have been the same way nowadays than before, meaning 30, 40 years ago. So how do you think you can define in 2015 what missions is about?
Well, you know, I taught a class at Bible College and I had to write the course. And it was an introduction to missions. And in all the study that I found, all the research that I did, they say that only 25% of all the people that go out on missions have a message. That 75% of a lot of what's done is helps kind of stuff. You know, like when we have, you know, floods, when we have earthquakes, when we have famines, and people say, "Well, I'm going on a missions trip," and a person signs up on it in the church to go, but they're going to build something, you know, and they're going to give some food, they're going, you know, and those are all great things. But I guess so many of the people that go out today don't have the message in their heart to bring to the people. Jesus said in Mark 16, "Go and preach the gospel." So that's the first thing that I think anybody that's ever going to go on a missions trip, whether you're going to build a house, to give them food, you need to have the gospel message so ingrained in your heart that you can't contain it when you get where you're going. Yeah, because the food is great for a moment. And I mean, I love the fact that we can give food. But eternal life,
mm-hmm.
That's forever.
Yeah.
And we've got to learn that that's the mission. The hospitals, the schools, the orphanages are great, but the mission is Christ. Yeah. Christ crucified. The hope of
glory. Amen.
And that's got to be the message that we bring, that everybody has in their heart when they go to the field. You know, I always tell, I don't tell people, they say, "Oh, I want to go with you. I'll just go with you and I'll carry your bags, Pastor Ron." I'm like, "I'm a grown man. I carry my own bag. You come, you got to have a message in your heart to share with people."
So, because I know there are some countries that were kind of the field for missionaries in the past, last century. They used to go minister and help with these hospitals and to the community, the needs of the people. And besides that, the war. And some of those countries already are being, kind of evangelized in a sense. So, do you think those countries would still need missionaries to go and preach the gospel, or do you think it's better to go to other countries where the gospel is not already there?
Well, you know, I again, in doing my research, I found that there, on Halloween, there is more money spent on costumes than there is to reach the unreached people groups in the world. Wow. Now, when I say money spent on costumes, I mean there is more money spent on costumes for animals. Not for little kids, but more money spent on costumes for animals than is spent to reach unreached people groups of this world.
Oh, wow.
So we've got to adjust, but I get it. It's hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard. It's hard to go to those places. It's hard to go where you're not wanted. It's hard to go where it's unsafe, where your life is, you know, on the line. But I'll never forget, Pastor Otto, I went to this country one time. I asked this man, I said, who am I preaching to? And he shared with me who all these people were. And he told me this. He said, he looked at me in my eyes and he said, give us what you've got.
Oh.
Because we'll go where you won't go, because we're already dead. What are these other countries going to do to us that our own government won't do to us already? So just give us what you've got. Give us your training. Give us your teaching. Share with us the Spirit of God. And we'll go where you can't and where you won't. That wow. tore me up, man.
So that means the trend in the missions field is like duplicating yourself to other people, or to train somebody to go where you can't go.
Yes. There are certain places, like, you know, that I shouldn't be.
There.
I shouldn't be there. And I've been to some of them places that I probably shouldn't be there, but God's grace is on me to go. But, you know, the impartation that you bring to those people, it's just so incredible. And the hunger and the thirst for the things of God and the things of the Spirit that they're desiring, it's incredible that the reception that comes from that and the hunger for it.
Kind of this, you know, this, what you see and you feel works like the fuel to go and continue, because there are some places very dangerous to be in, and to be encouraged to keep doing this and not thinking on the danger. Probably this energy from God,
it's totally from God. You know, God prophesied to me that I would go to 18 nations. You know, and I've been to a lot already, but I just kind of renewing that commitment that I'll go to 18 new nations. And since I received that word, I've gone to 2 nations. And because of where I go, I don't talk about it on the air, but. I just told my wife one day, I said, I'll wait till I'm 85 to go to that 18th nation. That way we always know I'm coming home.
Yeah, but I know that you have put your life in risk a couple of times. I just know that.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to perceive is that anointed strength repels fear, something like that.
Yes, it does.
Like, you don't think about fear when this anointing come to you, or
I was walking down an alley in a Muslim country, and I was in a suit, and I was doing a pastor's conference in this Muslim country, 97% Muslim, and I'm walking down the alleys and I'm walking down the streets, and the pastor that had invited me to come, he turned and he looked at me and he said, "You know, Pastor Ron." I said, "What's that?" He goes, "You are a very brave man." I'm like,
oh no.
Don't say that right now, man.
What does it mean?
Yeah. That's what I thought. What does that mean right now?
This is by yourself, meaning you didn't go with anybody else to that trip.
No.
You are just with local people.
Yeah, I didn't want the responsibility for somebody else's life.
I understand that.
I knew I was coming home. I had this assurance in my heart. My wife did too. My congregation believed God was sending me, and that, I mean, they believed so much they gave me the money to go. And so going and then coming back, and then when I got back, the city I was in, a week and a half later, three churches were bombed in that city. So I know God's hand was on me. He covered me. He protected me. He kept me. And we saw a mighty move of God.
So now I am a little confused.
Okay.
Because, you know, because we need to encourage people to go to the missions field.
Yes.
And it's not that I am really confused.
I know.
This is just a saying. Because it has to be a real calling in your life, not an emotion thing, or just because you heard about doing this thing and your heart is touched, you need to go. It has to be a calling.
Yeah.
And at the same time, for those that are listening and probably saying, oh no, I don't want to go there. But this is the thing. The Lord he's protecting you. So he's going to protect them. Once you are called, there's no return in this road.
I had a pastor approach me today. He said, I want to go with you. I said, okay. And he said, I told my wife that you are covered and protected, and I'm going to go under your covering, under your protection with you. I said, absolutely.
But this is a good thing, though,
yes,
that you can cover somebody to go.
Yeah.
Because the way you didn't want to take somebody that time, you know when to take people and when not to take. Because I know somebody has gone with you in other trips.
And
you were in danger. I remember one of the stories.
And it's
the two of you were together and protected.
Yes. And it is tough to go alone, because usually when I go out of the country, I mean, if I've gone 8 to 10 days, that's usually about all I go for, 8 to 10 days. But I usually speak 15 to 20 times in them 8 to 10 days. And if I'm doing all the speaking, man, that's a lot of time. I mean, I can tell you, I was in one place recently. I did 5 services in 1 day, laid hands on and prayed for 700 people in 1 day. I was exhausted.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
So, do you think there is a difference between the first time you went and nowadays? Like, that the first time probably you were more preaching and now more teaching to leaders, or is it the same? A combination of
I think
of
a little bit of a combination, you know, depends on where I'm at. Sometimes I'm going from church to church in a country. Like I go to Peru, and I might do 16 to 20 services in 8 days in Peru.
Oh, wow.
And they're usually in churches, and sometimes I do kids' crusades, you know, just whatever the need is, I try to help and fulfill. But I do like to do training. I like to do pastors' conferences. I like to lead people in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so that's one of the, I feel like, a gifting that God's imparted to me. And but I like to teach them how to do it too. You know, teach them how to heal the sick and how to raise the dead. I mean, that's the thing, you know, teach so that they can, because I'm not going to be there. I'm there 8 days, you know.
I understand that.
I want people to be empowered by the Holy Spirit so that they don't need Ron King.
So how about training people? When you take a team or a couple of people with you, and is it better to take them to, you know, those countries like Peru or
it is
some others that your life is no at risk? I mean, everywhere, it's going to be at risk.
Yeah.
Because it's not your
place. It's not the U.S.
Yeah.
You know, but it is easier to go to someplace like Peru to break them in, to get them into getting up and sharing the things that God is doing in their life and allowing God to flow through them and for them to pray for people and minister to them. But then there's also the other places that I do feel that people need to experience. Like I took my associate pastor Jesse with me last year on a trip. I said, you need to know what it's like, what I do, what I do. And it was an amazing time of what God did in him and through him. And it was just so powerful. We just took turns preaching. And you know what we talked about? We talked about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We spent 5 days, 8 hours a day teaching on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And then people just soaked it up.
Wow.
Yeah. Great times.
I need to go with you.
I'd like that very much.
Probably to Peru this year.
Yes.
Probably people the other side of the mic or even myself want to know what is really missing right now in the missions field. And let's go to a break just for... to listen to some music, just one song.
Okay.
And we'll come back. We are talking with Pastor Ron King, Senior Pastor of New Hope Family Worship Center in Corona, California. And we are very blessed to be here talking to each other and talking to you. I can feel the presence of God right here.
Amen.
So stay tuned. So we're talking about missions, but before that, because we want to know what is really missing in the missions field, but before that, do you want to tell us about the website so they can come and check it out by themselves if they want to?
Hey, you could go to www.newhopefwc.com. That's the church's website, and it lets you know what's going on at the church here. There's also a link to the radio station on there, our YouTube page, our Facebook page, and you can connect with us, and we'd love to hear back from you.
Yeah, that's very important.
Yes.
We need feedback.
Amen.
Not only for this program, but for the next ones.
And, yeah.
Even if you are interested in something that you would like to know and a topic that you would like to us to talk about, you are welcome to write an email. You can see the email and how to contact us in the website, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. So what do you think is missing in the mission field right now?
Yeah, you know, in spending time out in the mission field and running into missionaries around the world, the one thing that I see is we really need to have the power of God. The power of God is essential. We cannot limit what God wants to do. You know, I found myself, I was in a meeting a while back here in another country, and I was teaching them how to lead people in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I told them this. I said, this is what I do. I said, I have the people repeat a prayer after me. Then I pray for the people, and then I tell them, when I'm done praying, we're all going to speak in tongues. And I ask everybody to come into agreement with me. And so I told the people, I said, why don't we just do it so I can show you what I do? So as I was having them repeat a prayer after me, the Lord just filled me with joy. And it came up, this roar of laughter came up out of me in the middle of my praying. And I'm like, Lord, you know, and a lot of times, you know, we think, well, I'm in the middle of the teaching. I got to get this done. But I just told the people, let's just let God have his way right now. And let's just receive this. And I went out and I began laying hands on them. And that joy just filled their hearts. And they were laughing and crying. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why do you put such joy in me like that? And then just pour it out. And he said, because it breaks the oppression off of people.
Huh.
Yeah. And it's amazing to see that joy just rumble through a church or through a group of leaders, and to see that oppression just get destroyed. But we need the power of God.
So practically, this is that part of the Great Commission on setting free the captives.
Amen.
Kind of.
Yes. And seeing them filled with the Holy Spirit and to speak in other tongues, you know, to lay hands on the sick and them recovering. You know, and my thing is I don't want to do all the laying on of hands on people. I want them, I want to teach them how so that they can lay hands on people and see the sick recover.
Incredible.
That's what we need. We need that power.
So this is like preaching, not only with words, but with the power.
In the demonstration.
And demonstrations.
He said he'll confirm the word. That's why I believe everybody has to have a message so that Christ can confirm the word.
Yeah, because this is for people receiving the Lord. It's already a miracle.
Yeah.
And besides that, they get healed in their hearts or in their own bodies. Amen. Also.
We've seen amazing miracles happen. I mean, dead limbs come back to life, deaf ears open, you know, emphysema literally leaving people. You can feel it just jump out of their chest. Incredible stuff.
How about Muslim people coming to the Lord?
You know, I did a meeting one time, and there was Muslim people there, and I preached on the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues. 90% of the people stood up. Now, not all, you know, there was just a few Muslims in there that I know of, and one lady came forward and she said, I came in here a Muslim. Today, I believe in Jesus, and He healed me. Man, that one tore me up.
That's a double miracle.
Yeah.
Probably the first one was a little stronger.
Yes.
Becoming a Christian.
Yes.
And being in the middle like that.
Being filled with the Holy Spirit to speak in tongues. I laid hands on her too, because you don't know these people. I can't speak their language, you know. I'm just laying hands on everybody.
Wow.
I remember one time I was in a meeting, and there was this guy that stood up to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I told my translator, I said, lay hands on that man. And my translator goes, he's not even saved yet. I said, lay hands on that man. He laid hands on that guy. And that guy started praying in tongues and praying in the Spirit. And his life was transformed. Because part of being filled with the Holy Spirit, when I have them repeat a prayer after me, I have them confess Christ as a risen Lord and Savior. You know, so I said that part of their being filled with the Spirit is a confession of faith. You know, so lay hands on that guy. He did. That guy just took off.
Yeah, because in that sense, we need to break some patterns that we have in our minds of, no, you have to confess before, and then you start pushing people, and they are not receiving the real impact of the Spirit of Christ.
It's just so incredible when you see people just receive that Holy Spirit. And you know they're just coming into the fullness of who Christ is in them, and there's an explosion in their spirit, and it's just amazing.
You should have filmed those meetings and bring it back. I know you can. I know you can't.
I get a few clips now and then. Somebody will give them to me off of their cell phone, you know. Yeah, it's really ingrained in my spirit what's been happening these last number of years. Yeah. I feel like more fun than should be allowed in the kingdom, you know, because of the arena that God allows me to go into. It is just incredible. But it's also dangerous.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But this is the thing, right?
This is the thing.
The Lord send you to the world, and He's going to protect you from.
Amen. He says, "You preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, and then He shall come."
Huh.
That's what we got to do. But you know what? We also have Jerusalem. You know, this is Corona is our Jerusalem. You know, this is where God has planted us. This is the church that we minister in. We have people that we counsel. We minister to daily here in the city. And Corona is a beautiful place. And I'm believing that God is going to pour out His Spirit here in Corona. You know, people say, Ron, you're so gifted. You're such a missionary evangelist. You should be out on the field. It's like, we need it here. And every time I go there, I come back even more on fire for here. Mm-hmm. It just ignites me to want to see God move in America once again like never before. You know, that not the first awakening or the second awakening, but the great awakening. You know, because Zechariah talks about, he said, you know, the former rain and the latter rain. But the former rain and the latter rain coming together to create showers of rain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I believe God wants to do. Because when God does it in America, we've been very faithful in America, that what God is doing here to take it around the world.
Do you think it's coming?
Yes.
Soon?
I believe soon. I don't believe that we can hold out much longer. You know, we need a move of God, and I believe that God is going to pour out His Spirit on this land in America and around the world, because I know that God has entrusted Americans with finances, with resources, with people that will say, here I am. Not only say, here I am, send me, but they will go. You know, because that question he asked Isaiah, he said, whom can we send and who will go?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like if I said, Pastor Ronald, go to the store. You know, I've sent you, but will you go? You know, and a lot of people, we get amped up in meetings. Yes, I'll go. And then they say, okay, it's going to cost you $1,800 to go. And it's like, or on one of my trips that I made recently, they said, it's going to cost you $5,000. And I'm like, $5,000? I don't have $5,000. I said, but I know somebody that does. I said, God, do you want me to go? Could you give me $5,000? He did better. He gave me $6. So, I just know out of our Jerusalem, there's going to be just a move that just sends us to the ends of the earth like never before.
Yeah, you were sharing with us at one of our meetings about kind of three dimensions to do missions, like helper, those that are sent.
Yes.
Those that send you. And yeah, can you explain some of that?
There is that dimension. You know, there's those people that are called to go with, to be that support team. You know, it's just like I have people in other countries that, you know, they're my support team. They set up the meeting and everything for me so that when I get there, all I have to do is just focus on preaching. Everything's all set. I have a schedule. They've aligned. So there's those that's their part in the mission. They're setting up the whole thing. That's great. Then those people that are called to go with, to go along, that I can take with me, that can help share the load. You know, because you preach 20 times in 8 or 9 days, man, you're wrung out. So when you got people that can come alongside and can share that message with you, that can take turns, tag team, that is wonderful that you have that opportunity for them to do it, but also to, I don't have to do it all kind of thing, because I don't know it all. So it's great when I can have people that can share their views on things. And then lastly, is it does take money to make this world go round. And then there's people that are called to be senders, you know, and that they get behind and do send us and give us the resources to go and do that. And that's every much as important as what I do. You know, the going, the sender is, you know, how can they go unless someone sends them?
That's a way to do missions.
Yeah, amen.
Indirectly.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, they don't go, but they sent.
It's counted to them what I do in heaven. You know, because I don't look at who gives me money. I don't get a record of who gives me money. It's between them and the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't say, oh, wow, this giver gave me a lot of money. No, I don't do any of that. I ask my Father for money. Yeah. I let the people know where I'm going. And God takes care of me.
So practically, there are three ways to do missions then.
Yeah.
One is supporting,
going with,
or sending. Yeah, so we can be missionaries and still being at home.
Yeah,
and being participating.
And,
you
know, and we're all in different positions in life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 53. My kids are grown and married and have kids. They live on the East Coast, so it's just Delonda and I here on the West Coast, and you know, so we have my mom and you know, but we still have this ability to be able to go. I have a congregation that's behind me to go, that encourages me to go, that pays for me to go. They're sending me, you know, so it makes it easy for me. But, you know, there's people that got young kids and they have to work, you know, or, you know, they won't be able to support their family. You know, they get maybe a week or 2 weeks vacation a year, and to spend that going with me, that's hard for a young person to do. But if they can help in the process.
It's a kind of synergism.
Yeah.
Because some have the resources and some have the time and the calling to go.
Right.
Yeah, it's like a teamwork.
Oh, it's got to be total team.
Yeah.
You can't do this alone.
And the Lord puts everything together. I mean,
yes.
All the pieces in its sides.
It's amazing because I don't like to do fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to ask for money. So I just like to let the people know I'm going. If you want to give, praise God.
Yeah, I've seen that, and I know the resources came every time.
Amen.
Yeah.
It always is there.
Mm-hmm. And more.
Yes, amen. Yeah, God is
because
good.
The Lord comes with more than enough.
That's
always.
My wife always tells me. She says, you know, she says, well, I said, well, I'm believing God for this. And she says, why? I said, what do you mean? She goes, why can't you ask for more? I'm like, she says, he's the God of more than enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. Incredible.
This is beautiful. Yeah, so do you see any changes in the near future, like in the next 10 years coming up in the missions?
Yeah,
not only the field, but the way we're doing it?
I do. You know, I see a lot of things moving into the marketplace. You know, one of the arenas that I used to be in, I used to be an injection mold maker. And that was an arena that opened the door for me to be in other countries just because that's of what I did. And I've seen people that, you know, people think, well, I got a business degree. My degree is not in theology. Well, go get an AA in theology and get that BA in business. But the business degree will open doors up to people to be in countries that, you know, maybe don't want me there. Like I went to one country, I applied for a 5-year visa, and they gave me 5 months. You know, so it's like, you know, but business, if you're going there because they know if you have a business degree and you're coming to their country, they think you're gonna bring money in and you know, and you're gonna help them. And so, you know, and we are helping in that sense. So I would say, you know, that the business marketplace ministry is where a lot of missions is going to go to in these days ahead. It's really opening the doors for people to be in places, you know. But then again, you know, even in that, I was in one country where 80 people got kicked out of this one area. They'd been in business 20 years, one family, and they just sent them home.
Wow.
You know, and said, you're done here. And they just had them leave. You know, so there's always that too. But business, I see, is opening a door, being in the marketplace, you know, bringing people out of other countries into, you know, even America. It's just like, you know, we have people coming to America all the time and getting them safe. People are coming here getting educated. You know, let's minister to them here so that they can go back and take it home with them. I see a lot of that happening. Mm. Something I believe God really wants to develop in our nation.
Looks like the nation is going to be again like a barn full of provisions to come, get trained, take those provisions and send.
Well, you know, that's what Azusa Street
send them
was.
Out.
You know, Azusa Street, all these people came and got filled with the Holy Spirit and received the call of God. They just took off. You know, they just went and they just said, I'm going to this nation. They felt called and they just went and did it, you know. And but I believe that God is bringing the nations to our doorstep right now. And as churches, you know, we've got to be open wide. You know, we have you, Pastor Otto, our Spanish pastor. We have, you know, Pastor David doing Korean. You know, we have Pastor Emil that's starting Arabic, you know, because we want to reach the nations around us, because a lot of these people travel back and forth to their nations.
And we have this, we used to have this Romanian church.
Romanian too, Romanian gypsies too, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I see that that's a lot of what missions is going to be like before, later down the road, is in the marketplace and reaching people through business and contact. And but again, we have to have a message.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ crucified.
Or it's going to be, you know, a waste.
Yeah, it's just going to be making money. Mm-hmm. See, that's why, you know, the guy that did Gospel for Asia, K.P. Yohanan, he said, you know, don't come to India and build hospitals. Don't come to India and build orphanages and stuff. We'll take care of that. Come and train pastors. Because if you can train a pastor, then we can break that poverty spirit. You know, he's just like, you know, we can have the fire of God in the people. And that's transformational to a government. That's transformational to a nation. But people come and they build a hospital. And then the person that built the hospital goes away. You know, they built it with a great heart, with a heart for the Lord. But the people that take over and end up running it and everything, then it becomes about money. And the people lose sight of the vision of Christ.
Yeah, or something else, like giving glory to some other things, but not the real name.
Amen.
Of God.
Yep.
So how would you encourage a new generation to join the missions?
You know, for the new generation coming up, first off, I encourage you to get a passport. Get a passport and start praying over it. But the thing, you know, in America here that we do to our kids is we get them in debt. You know, they come and, you know, they get on fire for Jesus and they get a car and they go to Bible school and they get, you know, $60,000 in debt in Bible school. And, you know, we've got to make a way. And the Assemblies of God is making a way through the School of Ministry here in Southern California that people can go and take these courses. And as you get licensed, you get ordained through the Assemblies, they give you that money back. Mm-hmm. You know, so that you're not in debt when you finish the schooling. There's ways to get it done. And I like to see young people, you know, check out maybe some new ways of schooling, like with the Southern California School of Ministry that the Assemblies offers, so that you're not in debt, because you can't go to the mission field in debt. No mission sending organization will send you out if you have a load of debt. Because, you know, it excuse me, it takes so much to get support to go, to have this debt large portion of your support going to pay your debt, student loans, car payments, or whatever. It doesn't help you. So I would encourage young people, get your passport, start praying over it. Don't accumulate debt. Don't get into credit card debt. Don't buy that car, that, you know, that brand new car. If you're really serious about going to the mission field, buy the clunker for a while. You know, buy something that's affordable, you know, that you could get. And allow God to speak to you. Because, you know, that's all I did. He said, go where you're invited. Because people ask me, they say, Ron, how do you go around the world and minister? I make myself available. And I have my wife that is willing. She tells me, you belong to the Lord. I know that. You do what he tells you to do. And that is, wow. But, you know, young people, you know, they want to get married, you know. But focus on what God has. Because he's got a plan. And, you know, that's the name of our young adults ministry, 2911. For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, a plan to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. If we can just stay focused on that, we'll be right where God wants us to be. And these young people getting that fire for the mission field would be just incredible for them. If I was young again, Delon and I, man, we'd get married and we would just go. we would go. You know, because it's number one, it brings glory to God. And number two, it's just plain fun.
Mm-hmm.
When you see people getting transformed, you know, and so I just want to encourage you young people, get that passport in your hand, begin to really seek God and pray over that thing and see what he would have you to do. But don't ever let money be a hindrance. Because if God gives vision, he brings provision. He'll show you the way to get there. Amen.
Would you pray for them?
I will. Oh, Father God, we come before you today, and Lord, we thank you for the word that challenges us to go into all the world, to preach the gospel of the kingdom to all nations. And Father, I pray that the fire of the Holy Spirit would burn within the ears of those listening to this talk today. And Father God, that you'd burn it into our hearts, Father God. That, Lord, there's nations that are dying today that are going to hell. And Father, that we would begin to have a vision for their souls, Father God. Lord, even in our own Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth, Father God, in Corona, Father God, that, Lord, that the young people would begin to burn with a passion for souls here, Father, to go to the streets, to reach out to the dying, to reach out to the lost, and Father, to bring life. And I pray, Lord, that as they begin to pray over their passports, Father God, that you would show them the way. You would show them where they go. That the nation would just burn in their heart, Father. And Lord, that they'd be willing to be trained, Father God. They'd be willing to develop that message in their heart, Father God. They'd have understanding, Lord, that when they go, they're not just going to bring one word. But Lord, they're bringing a message for a nation. And Father God, that you would just strengthen our young people today. Lord, that you'd bless them, Father God, with your love. And Lord, with an encounter with Jesus. Jesus Christ Amen. Crucified, risen from the dead, the hope of our glory. Yes. And Lord, that you'd fill our young people with the Holy Spirit. And you'd empower them to be a witness to all nations, Father. I give you praise, Father, for what you're going to do in their lives today. And maybe you're here listening today and you're hearing this message and your heart is burning with passion and you don't know quite what to do. I would say email me. Let's talk. Let's work through it. Let's see what God is saying so that you don't limit what God wants to do in your life. Don't do it out of emotion. Do it out of a calling.
Yes,
do it out of that God is calling you to the field and rise up to the occasion of what God has created you for. And Praise he will make a way in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Otto.
This has been
great.
A good time.
Yes, sir.
I can really feel the presence of God here. And I'm pretty sure most of the people listening to this program is going to be blessed. And I know that some of you are going to get the calling to go not only to the missions outside, but probably to your own Jerusalem. That means your own neighborhood, family, and the close people around you.
You know, one last thing, Pastor Robert.
Yes, go ahead.
I always tell people that want to go with me internationally, if you can't do it in Jerusalem, in Corona, why should I take you there?
Yeah.
Because Jerusalem is our first priority. That's why I maybe only go 3 or 4 times a year there, but I'm here all the time. It's our priority. This is where God has planted us.
Yeah, to build this barn.
Amen.
And then we can send more
Hallelujah.
People. So stay tuned. Every Tuesday at 4 o'clock, we're going to be talking with Pastor Ron and taking some topics to bless you. And you have any question or you want to contact Pastor Ron, if you would give us your email
my
address.
Email,
if
Yeah, my email address is pastorron.rk@gmail.com.
So have a great afternoon, have a great day, or probably morning. I don't know where you are at right now, but we're going to be here Pacific time, 4 o'clock, in this radio station. God bless you all.